My name is Ramika, and this is where I share everything I know about how to outlive and heal from childhood trauma. I truly believe it comes down to two concepts: learning how to love in a healthier way and learning how to matter in a meaningful way. We'll walk through practical and maybe sometimes even challenging ways to heal so that you can love and matter with more impact. Welcome to Kinfolk. I truly believe that one of the scariest feelings is feeling like you don't truly know who you are. And yet, we all go through that feeling, I believe, in every transition of life. There's a hint of an identity crisis that happens that is hard to process through. And sometimes it's a lot faster than other transitions, but every single transition has an element of an identity crisis that goes along with it. From an early age, I remember my first identity crisis, as I would label it, happened when I was really young. I initially grew up with my biological family, and we were in Michigan, actually in Detroit. And my mom made the decision from a really young age to move us out of the inner city and into the suburbs. And by doing so, I was exposed to different sports, different music, different interests, different people than the rest of my family. My biological mom was the first of our biological family who had chosen to move to the suburbs. So when we would get together for cookouts or, you know, just different holidays and talk, the things that I would talk about with that family were so different than what it felt like all of them collectively wanted to talk about and were able to talk about, just because we were getting exposed to different things and we were in different areas. And so I remember at a very young age just going through an identity crisis, like, is it okay that my interests are what they are? Can I still be Black? You know, and it's laughable now because, like, of course, right? But from as a kid trying to filter through that, it was really difficult. And I remember feeling very disconnected and for the first time trying to pretend or put on a mask and camouflage who I was becoming, because it just felt so disconnected from who I was with them before we moved to the suburbs. And I think that happens every single time you go through an identity crisis. You hit this crossroads of sorts where you have to decide if you're going to stay in a space that you know because it's comfortable and you know it, or if you're going to grow beyond that and become somebody you don't know who that person is just yet, but you're just going to ride the wave of that transition into someone new. And for me, I remember spending a lot of my life trying to hold on to who I was because there was an element of comfort in that. Like, the known is comfortable. It's safe, and there's an element of security because you kind of already know historically how the old you is going to play out. You know kind of how that goes. You can anticipate the curveballs and how to navigate it. But when you choose to become somebody different, when you choose to allow yourself to explore a different version of yourself that you don't know yet, you're not quite as intimately grounded in this person yet, in this form of your identity yet, I think it's a very insecure space to be in. It's a lot of unknowns. You don't know how to anticipate how you want to respond. It takes a lot of energy, and energy just meaning thought and, you know, like effort and processing. It's very mentally exhausting to try to become someone different. But at every single point in our lives where there is a transition, we have to go through a phase of an identity crisis. And then through that is how we get more and more grounded in who we are. And so in this episode, I want to talk about some principles that you can take as you figure out how to be yourself. I think this is something that I know on an intimate level. Obviously, I talked about the first time I remember having an identity crisis, but when you have trauma, especially in your childhood, you kind of get delayed in figuring out who you are. Because while everyone else is navigating who they want to be and what they like and what their interests are and what they don't like and what they want to spend more time figuring out, we're getting delayed or sidetracked because we're having to navigate a lot of trauma at home. And trauma changes you. It changes the way you think. It changes the way you process. It changes your reaction time. And so in a lot of ways, it's unfair to expect someone who is going through trauma to also show up as their intended self, because they have to first figure out how to process the trauma that they've gone through before they can separate the trauma from who they are and their identity. And so if that's you, I want you to hear that this is a lot of work. Like, it's already exhausting and it's already a lot of work for everyone, but there's an added layer of complexity to sift through what is a trauma response for you and what isn't, so that you can figure out who you are and how to be yourself. And so a lot of this might seem very fundamental, but like I said, I think we talk a lot about the fundamentals because that is how you build a solid foundation. And I want us to build solid foundations because everything you build on it then will come from a secure place. And so especially when we're talking about how to be yourself, you really have to start from a grounded space. And I know that might seem like an oxymoron, like how do you go through an identity crisis and navigate trauma that turns you into somebody else and also build this foundation of yourself? And that's why I want to talk about principles to help us figure out how to get back to just the first step. How do you take the first step and then build on that? I remember because of my childhood trauma, one of the areas that I had to filter through was that in order to grow up with growing up with a dad who, my stepdad was abusive. And I know that there was nothing I truly could do that would help mitigate his anger. Like, it wasn't like his anger was warranted or the degree of his anger was ever warranted, but I really tried my best at times. Like, I remember just trying to be this very palatable person. Like, my personality, how can it just be as palatable and quiet as possible? And that's what I made it mean. It became about being this quiet person who didn't really share their opinions all the time. And did the right thing. And that person was supposed to not ever get in trouble with not just the world or at school, but with my stepdad is where it came from. And so the first step to me figuring out who I was, I kind of had to explore who somebody was that wasn't quiet, that wasn't, you know, just not opinionated, that wasn't just trying to blend in and be palatable. Like, I had to test out what it looked like to be unpalatable, to be very opinionated. And when I swung that pendulum in the opposite extreme, I found that I burned a lot of bridges, right? Like, I remember I made a stupid comment to one of my friends at the time. And it was actually in response to her mom. And honestly, if you want to explore your identity, I encourage you, and just gently warn you, don't bring up other people's moms. But I did. And I had an opinion on her mom and her mom's appearance and, you know, like what her mom was doing. And I made it known to her. And I remember she looked at me and she was like, if you're going to talk that way to me, I don't want to be your friend anymore. And that was the first time I was like, oh, so maybe like there is a good part of being palatable to some extent. And I just started to explore like, okay, like I can have opinions, but like maybe it actually does matter that you're not sharing your opinions all of the time. So I think what I'm trying to get at though is that you have to allow yourself to explore that to figure out, oh, that's not what I want. And I think a lot of that happens when you're by yourself. And then you start figuring out, it was by myself where I was just like, huh, maybe I just start sharing every opinion I have. Maybe I just start just being super unpalatable. And, you know, like I was just coming up with anything. And then I would walk outside my door and with the first friend I had, I tried it out and I hated it. I was like, yeah, I want to be somebody who has friends and this type of person doesn't get friends. And so it's scary because you have to go through a phase where you kind of don't really understand the risks of what you might do or might not do. And this is why I think it's really important to form that identity or to form who you want to explore trying to become by yourself. But it might be really wise and diligent to also run that by somebody else. And so if you have close friends or, you know, depending on, you can read other books, you can, you know, there's other ways, listening to podcasts, listening to other people. If you don't have close friends that you can just say, hey, so I was thinking about just like, I'm just going to be unfiltered going forward. If you can't just tell somebody that, then I would encourage you to do some research on your own, but start exploring what it would look like to be a person you haven't tried on yet by yourself, and then run that by other people. And so that kind of transitions into the second phase where by yourself is kind of where you can help narrow it down, but with other people is where you can start getting exposed to other perspectives and other people and the way that they live their life. And I think that's really key because to figure out what you like. So I think there's an exploration phase, right? Where obviously you just have to try on a bunch of hats. And the way that you learn how to explore or what to explore is by figuring that out on your own, doing your own research. And then there's an element of getting exposed to other people and just observing, just listening, actively listening, hearing what people talk about, asking questions about it, you know, drawing out their interest to learn more about what they're exposed to, or just simply watching and people watching and being more aware of the people around you wherever you go. Choosing to intentionally travel to different areas where you don't normally frequent to see maybe you really like the East Side, right? Like maybe that's where you need to move because you really found that you like it, but you won't know unless you explore it. So exploration is a big part of figuring out what's out there and what parts of it you want to adopt for yourself. I think in the times where I am by myself, this is also where you want to narrow down what resonates with you, what values you have. And for instance, for me, I really learned that one of my top values is on being a dependable person. And it's something that I would say that the first person that comes to mind is my dad. My adoptive dad, when I think about somebody who is dependable, if he ever says what he's going to do, 100%, you can guarantee he's going to do it. And that's the same thing. If he makes a promise to you, if he says with his own words that he's going to do X, Y, and Z, and he says that to you, you can guarantee he's going to do it. And I think growing up, that's just a quality that I needed. I needed somebody to depend on, even though I didn't really understand him. I always valued that quality about him. And so in my own adulthood, like who I am as an adult is somebody who also wants to show up as a dependable person. And so that's one of my core values. Being somebody who has connections with different people. Like I love having different kinds of connections. I have some friends who are deaf because I chose to join a church who has a deaf ministry. I also decided in college that I was going to study ASL. And so I was able to meet different people in the deaf community. And so I really value diversity on all fronts. I have friends who are 20 years older than me. I have friends who, I go out of my way to try to create events for people my niece's age and do like Galentine's I've hosted for her and her friends. So I try to expose myself to people on all different levels. I do value honesty, but I think within honesty, one of my core values is being genuine. And so it's really important to me because I think honest people, right, they show up in a genuine way, but not everybody who is honest is also genuine. So they're not mutually exclusive. And I would say that if I had to pick one that really resonates with me, I would say I really value genuine people and I value being genuine myself. I value laughter. I value a sense of humor. So, you know, like I think life is heavy. And so it's really important to me that I'm surrounded by people who know how to laugh, even if it's dark humor. Like I love humor on any level. I love sarcasm. I love wit. I love any kind of sense of humor. I love just being goofy. I value compassion. And I think that's one of the things that like you don't value it until you need it. And now it's something that I don't ever want to do without. I value protection and security. It's really important to me that the people around me are constantly thinking about my own protection and security, and they're thinking about it on a global scale too. And so I like for that to be a value of the people that I surround myself with and for myself. I value experiences over stuff. Like even with the gifts that I get, the most like thoughtful gifts, in my opinion, to me would be the gifts that are practical. And I think it's because I just love financial security and I value protection and security in general, like blanket. So practical just makes sense. It's something that I'm going to need. But I think just experiences, nobody can take that from you. Somebody could rob my house. I know that's dark, but somebody could rob me and take all my stuff. I could lose it. You know, who knows what could happen, but you can't take what I've been through and what I know and what I've experienced and what I've gotten to explore. And so that'll always be a core value. So I share mine just so that you can start thinking like, what are your core values? What do you value? What really resonates with you? And honestly, a lot of these things came from exploring and surrounding myself with people who are different than me, going to places where it's completely different from anything I'd ever experienced, and just getting to watch and absorb. And then pick and choose how I wanted to live it out, right? Like seeing generosity in the US looks so different than the generosity that I witnessed when I was in India. And so going to India and just being able to listen to the people and being able to connect with a community. And it was just, it was transformative on a heart level. And I took so much back that I think really helped me become who I am today. So don't bypass the exploratory phase just because it seems scary or it seems fundamental or mundane. You have to go through an exploration research stage. So if you're not a research type of person, just know that it's going to take extra effort on your part to truly be engaged, because you won't know what you don't know. And so you have to figure out how to expose yourself to different parts of it. And honestly, if I had only understood generosity in the way that I was taught in the US, I think I would be missing a whole other aspect of it that I was able to be exposed to by going to different countries. And even if that's not something that you can do, well, then go to the area. There's so many Indian people who live in the States, right? Like, just immerse yourself, like, go meet some new people. And I'm sure they'll also teach you about their culture if that's something that you're willing to listen to and be exposed to. So I say that because I think that a lot of times we try to make excuses for ourselves that, like, well, I couldn't afford to go to a different country, or I can't afford to do that. But then we figure out ways to make other things work. And so I think you really have to count the cost on what is it truly that you're trying to avoid? What makes you feel uncomfortable with the research part? What part of it are you really struggling with? And confront that part first, because it's really going to take you choosing to fully lean in to those parts of exploration to figure out your own identity. I think the last point is, after you explore, after you try on and you start troubleshooting, do I like this? Do I not like this? And then you narrow down for yourself what truly resonates and what you value, then you actually have to start becoming what you value. And this is where it all comes together, right? Like, you're trying to figure out what it is. You're trying to figure out how to do it. And now you just have to follow through and you have to start becoming the things that you value. And I think that's really how you cross the gap between who you were and who you want to be. It's by becoming that person. By just trying it on and then following through every single day so that it just starts becoming part of you. I find that the times where I really struggle with my identity are the times where I'm not acting in line with my values. And I think that's true for all of us, right? Like, I will always find myself if I choose to go back to my core values. And honestly, I couldn't figure out my core values personally without also grappling with and researching my spirituality and my faith. Because it's through your values that you start filtering everything through, yourself through, and you start figuring out how to orient yourself. I started this episode by sharing that I believe that one of the scariest things is feeling like you don't know who you are. And I still believe that to be true. But I think that becoming grounded in who you are requires you to die to the person you were before, and then you have to risk a little bit. My sister, she's the one who shared this with me, but she was just sharing with me that you will always do what you've always done until what you've always done becomes more uncomfortable than what it will take to become someone else or to do something else. And I think that finding yourself requires you to find that who you were, that you don't identify with, that you don't want to show up as, is more uncomfortable than the work that it's going to take you to research, explore, and try on someone and something that is in line with the values that you truly want for yourself. It's still true that in every transition that you go through, you will have an identity crisis. It's happened every time. When I've moved because I got adopted, I started going through an identity crisis, like, who am I? What do I want? What do I like? Who do I want other people to say that I am? It happened again after I graduated and I didn't get to go to law school because I didn't get accepted right out of undergrad. And so I moved back into my parents' basement and I was like, who am I? Who do I want other people to say that I am? What do I want? Is this, you know, what I want for myself? It happened again when, you know, I started my job and I was the youngest person in the company and I just felt completely insecure and out of my lane. And I was like, who am I? What do I want? What do I want other people to say that I am? How do I want to respond? It happened again when I started blowing up on social media and 10, 15, 20, 30,000 and just climbing, people were asking me who I am. And I remember thinking, who am I? What do I want? How do I want other people to say that I am? And I every single time you go through a transition, you're going to go through an identity crisis, and some will be short. You won't even realize that you are questioning your identity, because the more grounded you get in your core values, the faster you're going to start filtering those questions through your core values and refining yourself and regrounding yourself in your identity. And so that's the goal, to get to a point where you can filter through your core values in every transition in record time. Just get faster and faster at it. But in order to do so, you first have to figure out what are those core values. You have to explore, you have to research, you have to figure out, is this who I want to be? Try it on, throw it away, but start narrowing it down. It's at the points when you start questioning, when you start feeling so disoriented, you will stay feeling disoriented if you do not ground yourself and start filtering your words, your thoughts, and your actions through the values that you most resonate with. At the times in my life where I felt completely disoriented, most recently being last year, I realized that one of my core values is being genuine. And one of the biggest advice that I've gotten is that it's really hard to stay genuine when your entire personality is being filtered by thousands of people every day, when you're showing up as a content creator. And it's so true. It's one of the hardest things that I personally have ever had to do, not because I think the work is hard. I think it's at war with who I want to be on a core level in many ways. And so because there were times when I was still processing some of my trauma behind the scenes, it was hard to show up in a genuine way in front of everyone as a content creator. And so I noticed for myself, nobody told me I was getting more shallow, but I started getting more shallow. And then it became months later where I'm just like, why don't I enjoy this as much as I used to? Why do I feel so disconnected? Why do I feel insecure when I show up? And it's because one of my core values is being genuine. And so when I'm not acting in line with my core values, it leaves room for insecurity, for imposter syndrome, for an identity crisis. And it makes you feel like you have to make these extreme decisions. Well, maybe I just need to delete the whole platform. And yeah, like, I think there's freedom in doing that. And maybe your filter and you filtering your decisions through your values would lead you to that same conclusion in your own life. And that's okay, because it's about staying true and acting in line and making decisions in line with your core values. But was that the only option for me? And I realized that it wasn't, but I had to figure out a way to both preserve my energy so that I can go back and get therapy and, start working on my own mental health and processing through the next layer of trauma that happened in my life behind the scenes, and also still figure out how to show up in a genuine way every single day that I choose to create content. And I figure that that is what this year is about for me. And I'm starting to feel like I know myself again. I'm starting to get excited about it again. And that's what it's all about. Learning how to become yourself is really getting to live your life to the full. It's about figuring out that you now know how to thrive instead of just survive. And that's always the goal. So, what about this challenges you? What do you want to apply to your life? Let me know in the comments, shoot me a DM, and let's plan to talk soon.